You're listening to Jai Long, and this is Make Your Break. Hey, Make Your Breaker, welcome back to the show. Today, I'm going to talk about digits. We're going to talk about numbers. We're going to talk about maths, all the things as creatives do not like to talk about, but it's also as important as everything else. And especially as most of us are business owners listening to this podcast right now, I think we underestimate the power of what our numbers can do in our business, and just having the knowledge and the confidence in our own numbers and being able to make decisions based off what our business is actually doing. Because, you know, so often I always hear people say like, hey, I don't think I can afford this, Jai. Maybe next year or maybe one day or maybe, I don't know, you know, when I can, whatever it is, like invest in your business or quit something or whatever it is. And we usually make these haste decisions based off a gut feeling and not so much the numbers themselves. And don't get me wrong, I make a lot of decisions based on my gut. That's 100% truth. But also, I like to know my numbers. So today, I actually have Lorianne Kuntz with me, and she's the CEO of Profit Priority. And she's actually going to dive in a little bit and talk about your numbers, what you need to know, what you need to learn. And I'm going to give you some tips and tricks as well, things that I do, because honestly, sometimes I hear some of this stuff, you know, profit and loss statements and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I'm a little bit overwhelmed. It can be pretty hard to sort of know exactly what it is that I'm supposed to do and everything else. And I get lost with it all. One of the first people that I actually employed was a bookkeeper because I just didn't want to do my own numbers, but I also wanted to run a legitimate business that I knew that I could grow. So there's a few things that I do personally that I'm going to share inside here that also just makes it really easy. One of them is just like tracking my net worth each month. And I do that, and I've been doing that the last 5 years, and it's been such a game changer. Just being able to know like where I stand in the world with my business and with all my investments and all the things that I do. And just so I know, sometimes it's confronting looking at your own numbers because, well, heaven forbids, sometimes things go downwards and, you know, we lose a bit of money or it wasn't such a favorable month or whatever it was. And other times, you know, we feel like we struck it lucky and everything's going our way and there's some money in the bank account and the trend's going upwards, the trend's your friend, which is really cool. Now, before we do get into today's episode, I want to say that I've actually launched a whole brand new podcast and it's called The Metamorphosis. Now, I'm going to put a link down below. But what this is for all my creatives out there. If you are right now a creative and you're listening to this and you love business and you love learning business from me, like I love that. But if you want to learn some creativity, some mindset stuff, some content creation, like things like that, talking about arts, talking about what makes us tick, what's, you know, passion, I would love for you to dial in to The Metamorphosis, where Kara Mia and myself are the co-hosts and we do bring in a whole bunch of experts. Now, we're only doing 10 episodes at this stage. Maybe people can convince us to do more, but it's a limited edition show. So I want you to get on it before it's gone and go and subscribe, go and listen. And there's so much cool stuff in there. Now, other than that, what else is happening? I am actually getting ready to go overseas and go into Europe in a couple of weeks. And we're filming a giant course. It's called The Metamorphosis as well. It's all about creativity and content creation and mindset. And we've got a psychologist in there and we've got, you know, some amazing educators in there. So it's going to be so much fun, but it's such a big project. And in fact, I think I'm going to do a whole podcast episode just around that project, just to show you the ins and outs of what it looks like to come together with somebody else and create something as big as this is going to be, which is really cool. Now, I don't want to waste any more of your time. Thank you so much for listening to this episode and let's get into today's interview. All right, Lorianne, so good to have you on the show. As we know, like creatives are really good at creating things and getting swept off their feet with their imagination, creating big projects and doing things for the sake of doing things, like, you know, like creation, literally. And sometimes we forget about the numbers and we forget about the profit and we forget about that whole side of things when it comes to our business, and it can get us stuck. So today I'd love to actually talk to you about the numbers of a business, how that looks and what people should be looking at. So to get started though, I'd love for you to introduce yourself.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. And I'm always down to talk about finances and numbers. But yeah, like you said, my name's Lorianne Kuntz. I live in Ohio, so from the United States. And I started down the traditional path of accounting, wanted to do taxes, wanted to do all the CPA stuff. And I quickly realized that a lot of times there's a big gap between what the taxes are saying and then the business owner. And while there can be a lot of tax strategy involved, what I was seeing was a lot of business owners would come in to the office to get that done. And they had no idea if they were even profitable that year or what they needed to do to really make the next year even better. We would file the taxes and send them out their door and say, see you later, see you next year. And I just saw so much potential.
They felt like they're kind of on their own almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't like that. I'm like, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. Like there's so much potential for them to like really expand and grow their business that they were just leaving on the table. And I'm like, I could really help them if they, I just showed them what their numbers was saying. So that's kind of my short version of what I did and kind of where this led to. So I kind of left the tax world and wanted to dive into like cash management, bookkeeping, accounting, CFO work, but with a little bit of a modern twist. So we're not like just the typical, accountants who just kind of deliver reports and just kind of leave you on your own. But I do own Profit Priority. We're like a bookkeeping and CFO, like bookkeeping agency that serves primarily creatives because I found a lot of times it's just really difficult for creatives to understand their numbers. And I really want to help them with that.
What is the number one biggest mistake that you see creatives make when they come to you in terms of their finances?
Oh, man.
Like what stands out the most?
Yeah. What stands out the most, honestly, is that they just aren't looking at them. And it sounds simple, but it's just like they're not making it a priority. They're not seeing how much information is inside of them. A lot of times they're quick to invest in a lot of other fun things. And they're like, okay, hiring this person is going to get me somewhere and hiring this person is going to get me somewhere. But then they are not looking at their finances. And they just don't know what they don't know. And so, yeah, I would say just not looking at them. The other thing would be to have finances that they think that they're doing properly and doing their bookkeeping properly, or even having someone do their bookkeeping, but it might not be accurate. And if you're looking at numbers that aren't accurate, it's not really going to be helping you.
Well, so if you're not looking at your numbers, what does that look like in day-to-day of somebody that's deciding, well, not deciding to not look, but maybe they're deciding, but just not even conscious that they should be looking. Like, what does that look like for them?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of times people will just like kind of neglect it. And to me, and what I hear from my clients and from just people I talk to in general, a lot of times it's very, it plays in with the roller coaster feeling of entrepreneurship. So like you might be laying in bed at night and be wondering like how you're going to make the payroll if you have a team or whatever you're going through on the business side of stuff. And then the next day you get paid for a deposit for a big wedding or whatever it might be. And you're feeling great about everything. And so like whenever you're not looking at your numbers and seeing like, okay, what's coming in, what's going out, and when is this actually happening? You're kind of just playing in this like guessing field of what's going on and if something's working and if something's not. And there's just not a clear direction. It really allows you to see things black and white to really know what you really should be doing.
So it's like if you're not looking at it, you don't have clarity and you are playing the guessing game all the time and kind of hoping for the best, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people too. I mean, you can kind of weigh in too, but like a lot of people I see will look at their bank account and just like base all the decisions off of how much money's in their bank account. And I see that a ton. And there is so much involved with that. That's one piece of the puzzle. Whereas there's so much more that is involved in finances.
What about like for a lot of freelancers and a lot of like, you know, you're saying like photographers and designers and stuff. Do you find a lot of people don't run their business as an actual business and they kind of treat their business as their own piggy bank? So they don't really know what they can actually buy or not buy, but everything's joined together and they don't even have like a separate bank account. And so it becomes really hard to know what actually has the business got to invest in itself and what have you got to live your life?
Yeah. And I think that's so important too, to like make that distinction and split it up. And I do want to like say like they do go together. Like your business is going to support your personal life. But I see so many people treat it like they're like you said, like their piggy bank. Like you just kind of can mix things all around and kind of do whatever. Wherever there's money, that's where you're going to pull from and what you're going to do. But they are their two separate things. And for you to be able to plan personally on your personal investments, if you want to invest in real estate, if you want to, if you have credit card debt that you're paying off, whatever it might be on your personal side of stuff, you have to know and plan for what your business is going to be able to pay you, like a normal job. And then on the business side of things, you have to be able to plan to be able to pay yourself as a employee or as a worker of your company. And so you do want to have them two things separate. And I will say, like, for legal purposes too, like if you would ever get like audited or sued or anything like that, you want to have those things completely separate because they are, and you'd want to kind of protect yourself on the personal side.
Really interesting. Hey, how important like money is for us and our time. And so many creatives that I talk to, they just don't know actually how they're like, I don't think I can afford that. And they just don't know how much money they actually got or what's coming in.
Yeah.
With me, with my business, I'm like, I know exactly to the cent of how much money is in my bank account, but also what balance sheets are on the business and what I need to do. And same with my time each week as well, you know?
So it's
like the two most important things that you need to keep looking at. And it goes back to the famous quote, and I don't know where it came from, but like, wherever energy goes is what's going to grow. And if you're not putting energy into the thing that you want, you can't expect it to be growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I don't know. I mean, whenever you got into entrepreneurship, I would be curious, what did your like financial understanding of your business finances look like?
Really good question, actually. When I very first got into it, when I was 20 years old, I had no idea. It was just money came in. I put it in the till when I had a cafe and I went bankrupt. So it took about 12 months and I didn't even know that I was bleeding that much money, and I didn't know what I could invest in and what I could buy, or what equipment I should be leasing. Just because I was going off like, you know, the day-to-day, how much money I was making. And a whole bunch of small decisions led to me losing everything without even knowing it. And I think that's like what I want people to avoid. And that's why we've got you here, you know. It's because it's all fun and games until it's not. And it's also, if I go back to that moment, like just not having the clarity and thinking that I needed to book more all the time was the wrong thinking, because I was actually making enough money. It's just I didn't manage my cash flow. So it wasn't about like bringing more people in and spending more marketing. It was about like looking after what I actually had and putting some sort of structure or system in place.
Yeah. And I like that too, because like you said, a lot of times people will be looking at, okay, well, I just need to be making more sales or be hitting this number in my bookings or whatever. And a lot of times you are making really good money or maybe you're not, maybe you're just starting out, but if you're able to manage the money that you have and essentially just spend less than what you're making, you're going to be continually building upon that and growing upon that. It's also going to be giving you insight to see like, okay, well, this is what's working and this is what's not. So a lot of times clients will come to us and they're just like, well, this is our sales number. And I'm like, okay, well, you're offering like four different types of service. What's your highest like booking? They're like, well, I don't really know. And we have clients that's completely shifted industries because their sales were like, we could see the difference in what the people wanted. Yeah. Completely shifted industries, completely shifted what they were even doing. And now they have an incredible complete agency and they didn't know that that's what their numbers were telling them. So it's so interesting to look at and see whether you're just making a little bit or if you're making like $1 million.
You know, it's interesting. So for my wedding photography business, when I first started that, I learned a lot about business after I went bankrupt and I researched money and stuff. But one of the first things I did is I opened up my business account and then my own personal account, and I started paying myself a wage that wasn't livable when I first started. I think, to be honest, I think it was around about $20 a week. But and then I'd pull from the business, of course. But what I wanted to do is make sure that I didn't turn off the $20. And then when I started making more money in the business, I increased my wages until I could just live off my wages. But I did that so then that way all year round, no matter if it's like Christmas and I was not working for a month, I could still pay myself. So it was a small amount. Then from there, I was able to build up my business. And once I got to about $600 a week, which is still today, this is 10 years later, I still pay myself $600 a week. That's what I live off. And my business makes multiple seven figures. But what I do is, instead of me just taking all the money, like a big CEO that's just like trying to profit everything, I just hired another person, and then I could hire another person. Then I could hire another person because I could see what the business had, and then I could see the growth that it could be there. And when everyone asks me, how did you hire your first person? I'm like, that's exactly how. Instead of me taking all the money all the time, I took what I needed without being an overpaid entrepreneur or like CEO. And then I allocated, you know, extra money for growth on the business. And then it's able to keep snowballing. But I wouldn't have been able to do that if I didn't start off by just training myself, paying myself a wage of $20 a week.
Yeah. And there's two things that I want to point out there too, is like a lot of times I see people come in and they're not paying themselves at all. And I'm like, I want you to be able to, like you said, get in that rhythm and be able to pay themselves too. Because definitely, to me, if I didn't get paid anything, I would be completely burnt out and I'd say, this is not worth it. I'm done. Like, I'm going to do something else. Mm-hmm. Because after so long, you're going to start reasoning the business, then that's going to flow into your marketing efforts and your sales and everything else. So I want people to be paying yourself $20 a week. If that's all you can do, like, let's make that a habit.
Because at the end, yep, of course, you get to pay yourself profit. You know, so yeah, it's like, yeah, maybe you paid yourself $20 a week all year. And at the end of the year, you've got yourself $40,000 sitting in your business that you can actually now transfer over to yourself as a bonus because you made those decisions.
Yeah, I love that. And then on top of that, like you were saying, is you have that rhythm in place and that system in place. And then you're looking at, okay, well, how can I hire people to help me and continue to grow the business? And I think that's something that people are like, well, I just don't have enough money to be able to hire. And I'm like, well, do you have enough money? Maybe you can find someone or find that money somewhere. And I do see a lot of people on the flip side of the coin, they will be taking out a bunch of money, like a CEO, or just like completely draining their business accounts because they need money at home or something. And then That gets in a whole other conversation. Is like, okay, well, how are you managing your money at home too? Like, well, how are you managing your personal life? Because it flips back and forth. If you're continually pulling from your business and your personal finances aren't under control, then you're going to hurt your business. And then you'll have to be putting money in personally to keep your business going. And it's something that had to work.
I'd love to talk about this because the reason being is because I think people look at me where I am in my career and they're like, oh yeah, Jai, you're successful. That's awesome. But like, go back to the $20 a year, the first year, 2013, that's how much I paid myself. When I first became a photographer, I paid myself that. I sold my car. Because I actually did the maths on it. And I was like, if I just hired a car for each wedding that I shot, and then I could write that off on tax. And also I could put the bill to the client and then that'd be all good. So I actually got rid of that bill completely. Even though I didn't have a car, it took a massive sacrifice. Then we moved out of our house and we moved into a share house and that cut our living expenses in half. So I took a big sacrifice there and I sold my TV and I sold all the things. You know, I got rid of my credit cards. I did all those things and I took all those sacrifices that I needed at home to allow my business to have more breathing room. And I think for me, like that was like a really important first stage step that a lot of people don't talk about and a lot of people don't see because we, you know, with today's day and age, we see everything on social media and it's like, oh, I want to go to Iceland right now and I want to do this and I want the best gear and I want the subscriptions to everything, you know. But if you see like the most successful that we know, it's like it didn't start that way.
Yeah, no. And I think, yeah, just time and time again, as I work with like founders and talk to people that are just starting their businesses, the first couple years are so hard. And There are a lot of sacrifices that people have to make on the personal side of stuff that, again, you just don't see. Everyone looks at social media and sees the beautiful side of everything and thinks that everything's working super great. And yeah, going to Iceland, but they don't see all of the sacrifices that you're making.
You're making to make it work. I think that's just a really important point to put across is because like with anything, it's like, it's not so much like sacrificing to like, you know, hurt yourself and like live stingy, but it's like making the right decisions across the board that's going to help you live the dream that you want. And if your dream is to be comfortable in a nice house, maybe the 9 to 5 is like where you should be. So you get that security. If you want to be an entrepreneur and you want to travel the world and do those things, like you're probably going to have to like take a couple of steps back for a few years. Like the repayments on the TV and on the brand new big car and stuff, like maybe those shouldn't be number one priority at the start.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're looking at long-term here. We're not looking at short-term. And with entrepreneurship, it's a long game. Everything in it is a long game.
It really is. So when we're looking at our numbers and everything, just to sort of start off, when people come to you, do they generally have a goal in mind of what they want to do? Or is it sort of like this, they're more dictated by the business. This is what it's doing right now. So I'm sort of like working with that.
Yeah. I would say some of both. It kind of just depends on the personality. I like to, whenever people first start with us, I really like to hear just what their goals are. Like, what are your goals? Where do you want this business to be at? And then from there, it's just like, okay, well, let's work with the numbers and work backwards. Like, if you want this to be, you want to be able to make this much money in your personal life, great. Like, okay, how do we make that work? You want to be able to hire 4 more employees this year. Great. How's that going to work? But I want them to tell me their goals without looking at their numbers, without seeing anything. I just want to hear like what their vision is for the company and what they want to be able to do with it. And then we take a look at what has been going on. Like, what is the past 12 months? What is the past? I mean, ideally, if we can have 5 years of really good, accurate financials, if they do have that, that can tell us so much. We can see what it's done. We can see how it's been growing. We can see areas that we can improve, and we can kind of work, like I said, work backwards and be like, okay, this is where we want to be. Then how do we need to adjust to get there? But I do like to talk about their goals first and the vision for the company without focusing so much on the numbers.
Yeah. Okay. So it's instead of the numbers, we sort of talk about our goals and then we start going down into numbers. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I like to do it.
What needs to be true for that goal to happen?
Yep, exactly. So what needs to happen financially and investing-wise in the business to be able to hit those goals and the vision?
I love that.
And I do like to talk about like, what's your vision next month? What's your vision for each quarter of this year? What's the vision and goals for 5 years from now and for 10 years from now? I have clients that are wanting to sell in the next 5 years, sell their business and sell their agency. I have clients that are wanting to just be in this long term, like for a long, long time. So it kind of just depends on where they're at.
Do you recommend that people look at their finances like week to week, month to month, like they're keeping track of those finances?
Yeah, I would say it depends on like what stage of business they're at. I would say at the very minimum, look at it monthly. You can't go more than 1 month without looking at your finances. And then as you continue to grow, looking at your profit and loss, seeing what it's doing week over week, and especially looking at your cash flow, because that's really what's going on throughout the month is looking at the cash flow, like where are things going? I have a lot of clients that will come to us and be like, hey, our profit and loss is looking really great, but we have no money in the bank account. And how is that even possible? And that comes down to cash flow. So you might be putting some money, like big investments on a credit card this month, that's not going to be coming out until a month from now or a month and a half from now, depending on how the credit card statement is hitting. And you forgot about those investments. I forget about what I do like yesterday. So let alone like 4 weeks ago. So you have to really keep in mind what's hitting. And on top of that, like if you do have a team, you have to keep in mind like, okay, when's their paychecks coming out? How's that going to affect things?
Do you find like people at the end of the year, they see their like, you know, they're doing their taxes and they're like, oh, I made a whole lot of profit this year, but I actually have no money in the bank account. How does this make sense?
Oh yeah. Yeah. A lot. And I would say a lot of times that's because they're pulling out a lot of personal stuff that's not flowing through on like their profit and loss. So there'll be like owner's draws and everything like that. And like mixing all of that personal stuff in there that is just not on the business's profit and loss, I would say is a lot of the issues in that area, or they might be paying off credit card debt or loans or whatever that might be and making big investments. So for example, like for here, like if you're buying a property or buying a building or buying a vehicle or whatever, it goes on the balance sheet. It's an asset. And so you're buying that and you're not going to see that as an expense at that time on the profit and loss. And so you're not going to see that until it gets depreciated over the course of 20 years. And so a lot of times people don't weigh that into consideration.
So they've spent all this money on a big investment, but then they're like, wait a second, like that's not really showing up. And like I've made a lot of money, but there's not much tax write-off on the things that I spent kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's where tax strategy comes in. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do with that and moving things around and how it's getting depreciated and stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's different wherever you're living at too.
Well, someone's business, what are the most important numbers they should be looking at? I know you said profit and loss and balance sheet. What are those things?
Yeah. Okay. So your profit and loss and your balance sheet, those are the two main, the main financial statements that are probably the most important to look at. Profit and loss is looking at, okay, this is what your income is. This is what your expenses are. And at the end of the day, this is what I made in my business after I paid all those expenses out. Your balance sheet, on the other hand, is where a lot of people get kind of like stumped on because it's a little bit more confusing. But you're going to have like all of your assets. So think of things like the cash in your bank account. If you own a vehicle, like a business owns a vehicle, stuff like that. If you have like accounts receivable, so you have people that need to be paying you that you have contracted, that's like an asset because you have them contracted in. It also has your liabilities, and that's like things like credit card, if you have any loans, if you have any payments that you need to be making, stuff like that. And then you have your equity, which is like the shareholders' equity, the equity of the business, basically what the business is worth, and so forth. So those are your two statements. Inside of there, the biggest thing that I want you to pay attention to is what's your sales. So obviously from a marketing perspective and like sales perspective, we need to know what our sales are, but then also we need to see what our revenue is coming in. I want you to be looking at your sales. I want to be looking at your gross profit, which is your sales minus any like directly related expenses. The easiest example would be like a products-based business would be buying a product and then reselling it. So that would be a directly related expense. So we would be looking at like gross profit. And then obviously we would be looking at your net profit, which is at the end of the day, like what you made. So those are the three main things in that area. And then I also want you to be paying attention to the cash in your bank account, making sure that that's getting taken care of, making sure that you're not overdrafting anything, you're taking account everything. And then on top of that, I like to pay attention to what I call is the true business profit. And so if you're not taking in consideration all of those credit card fees, all of those like owner's draws to yourself, that's not getting recorded on the profit and loss, then you're kind of missing the point there and you could be spending more than what you have. So I want you to be thinking about like, okay, these are all my expenses. Let's add in, okay, I have to pay this credit card fee. I have to pay this line of credit payment and I have to pay myself this amount. This is what I truly have left over. And that's not going to always show up on the profit and loss. And that's so important that people don't pay attention to.
So interesting. It sounds like there's a lot to pay attention to.
Oh yeah. There is a ton of pay attention to in numbers.
You know, it's funny. I actually, just to show like how, I guess like the awareness and knowledge of creatives when it comes to all this kind of stuff. There's a big creator in my industry that's like made a YouTube video and it's got like hundreds of thousands of views. And it's like, how my net worth grew to $500,000. Anyway, I watched it and he did the equation completely wrong. Like at the end of it, I was like, what the? I was like, maybe everyone called this out. And I had a look at the comments and I'm like, no one said anything. But literally all he did was he's like, okay, I bought a house. It's worth $400,000. I got a $300,000 loan. And I bought this and this and this. And then he plussed everything together, but never minused all the debt. And so his net worth was everything together. And I was like, wait, what? Like, do you not know that your net worth is not that? Like, you know, it's like the most simple basic math that you can see. But literally there's thousands of comments on there and I haven't seen one comment that picked that up, which blew my mind. People were just like, yeah, well done. I can't believe it. This is amazing. I want to do that. One day I want to buy a house or, you know, like whatever it is. And I was like, whoa, man.
That's
like,
crazy. Did you comment?
No, I didn't comment. I just looked it up. I was like, oh, okay. But that's sort of goes to show though, just like how much knowledge that we have. And even like there's influencers out there like sharing stuff like that, but they still don't even have the knowledge of like something simple, like what is your net worth?
Yeah. Yeah. And it is. And I do want to say like it is very overwhelming and it's something that a lot of people have a hard time to grasp. But a lot of times, like you said, it is just a simple plus minus equation on like looking at things like net worth. And so it's just taking a step back and simplifying it down to be able to like, okay, this is how it's going to go. And there's so much information out there that you can learn. Like, I don't want to people listening to be like, oh, well, all of this is so confusing. I don't even know where to start and I don't know what to do. Yeah. And so I'm just going to like put it in the closet and think about it another day. But I do want to like show the importance that this is the foundation and the most important thing to get to where you want to be. And before you start building your business or building your house, you have to have this foundation in place.
I actually want to share something that changed the game for me a few years ago was, and this is going to be good for all creatives because I know that creatives are like, they hate anything that's too crazy when it comes to, you know, when it comes to like tracking anything basically. But a few years ago, I'm going to show you right here that you can see, like you can see July 2020 and then I've got like my, just how much money I got and how much debt I got. And so each month for the last like 4 years now, I've been going through, started at the start of 2020. Actually, I started in 2019. But what I did was just in my phone notes, nice and easy, just really simple. Each month, I just open up all my bank accounts, my PayPal account, my Stripe account. And I just like, I jot down exactly how much is in each account. And then I go through all, like if I've got a credit card, any debt, and I jot those down. Personally, I've got some like home loans and I've got a couple of assets. So I jot down like, what does the market say it's worth? What are the home loans are each month? And then at the end of it, it just says equal, what is my net worth? And then I've got a number of my net worth each month. And what's interesting is there's two ways to increase that net worth. It's like you get more money or you pay off more debt. And both of those things are going to increase your net worth. And what's really cool is when you start tracking little things like this, you gamify it for yourself and then you can start seeing your progress or if it does go back, you know, a couple of steps and then what do you need to do to keep moving forward? But also it keeps you hyper aware. You know how much money was in your bank account 6 months ago because you've got a track record of it now without all the statements and all that kind of stuff. And I felt like once I started tracking that month to month, which I do religiously now, all the way up to right now, seeing the jumps and like of my net worth and stuff and the things that I did those months has changed the game. And also where energy flows, things are going to grow. And so my net worth has obviously been growing because I like watch it like a hawk. So there's so many things to track, but I have found also just like a simple thing like that keeps me hyper aware of exactly what everything is doing in my business. And I want to ask you, would you say something like that is a good idea as well?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, my husband and I, we track our net worth. We see where things are at all the time. And I think it's so important too, because you want to be aware, you want to see what's going on. And it's also fun to see the progress being made. Mm. Like there's been months that were like, or like a couple months and then like a certain period of time that we've made some big decisions or whatever. And it's like, whoa, we can look at this and like, look at our net worth. Look what it just like jumped. Like that's incredible. Yes. And then it gives us excitement and energy to continue to build that. And the same is when you're looking at like the profitability of your business or whether you're looking at what is going on in your business or what you're being able to do, whatever you're being able to pay yourself. When you're paying attention to that and looking at it time over time, like month over month, period over period, you're able to see the change. And I think that's the cool thing is that you can see the numbers for what they are. They're black and white numbers, and you can implement stuff to be able to change that. And then that's what continues to give you energy and excitement to continue to build the business. But it's like so important that people like look back and see something as simple as that for the past like 5 years for you has been able to like help you so much and just being able to like be aware of that. And then that carries into the rest of your life.
Well, another cool thing is when you do look at that, I look at it some months and I'm like, it's just not looking good right now. But if I looked at it over the course of 5 years, I'm like, whoa, it's actually, I'm doing really good. And then other things that works really well is this week I made a $40,000 mistake. And so I'm like, oh man, that's going to really hurt me. But when I look at it, I'm like, I know that's coming off my balance sheet this month. And then it motivates me. I'm like, well, I need to do something in my business. I need to like keep showing up because I want to not have that $40,000 minus this month from my net worth. So for me, it like becomes more creative and I am very basic when it comes to numbers and everything. So I am probably the typical creative. So I'm like, well, this is a really easy way of me looking at my stuff.
Yeah. I like it though, because like you said, you see what's going on and people will come to us. And even now with a lot of our like clients it's either good or bad. Whenever you look at your numbers, you're like amazed. You're like, okay, yeah, this is really working out. Or you make a $40,000 mistake, but what you do, it's what you do with that information that continues to like build and be like, okay, well now I have energy. Now I need to like figure out how to kind of combat that mistake. And then the creative juices start flowing. So it's like looking at the business side, the number side. Okay, cool. Now I can go back to my creative part of me to be able to like fix that.
You know, it's interesting. I find like creatives, I don't know if you find this, but like there's either two types of people, not just creatives, just two types of people. One type of person that really wants to go see all the numbers and the other don't really want to see it. And usually the person that doesn't want to see it is because they know it's a mess and they're overwhelmed and they are ashamed and scared and they think they should be further. And they have a lot of those feelings where someone that really wants to see it's like, yeah, check it out. I'm really successful right now and I'm doing really well. And what I've noticed is like some, like I've got some people in my life that don't have any money and they never have, and they've been really bad with money. And so they will avoid looking at their own bank accounts at all costs because they just don't want to be reminded of how bad it is. So the shame is actually holding them back from taking full responsibility and ownership of their own finances, because it feels like a big mountain you've got to climb, you know? Do you find that?
Yeah. And, oh, yes, for sure. And it's something that, like, I feel like I'm time and time again, I'm talking with people about because the way that we view money, the way that we see like money in our life, I think a lot of it comes down to like the way we were raised with money, like how we were raised, the people in our life that was like in like significant roles in our childhood is really big. I know like here, like there's not a lot of financial education in the school system. And it just like makes me so upset because I'm like, this is the things people need to know about. And then they get into like college or whatever and things start happening. And that's what is really shaping how they're viewing money now. So it is breaking down that mindset and breaking down that shame and realizing like, okay, this, yeah. And just taking ownership too. Like people do have to take ownership of what they've done and how they've handled things. And I think that's a lot of times people are like, I don't want to take ownership of that. Mm-hmm. But you do have to kind of step it up and be like, okay, this is the realistic area. This is where I'm at. This is reality. And now I'm ready to make this change and it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. I'm going to put this as a big priority right now. And we're going to figure out a way to make it work. We're going to figure out a way that I can learn. I can listen to podcasts. I can read books. I can learn about how to handle my finances. And that's how it's going to be. It might be a little hard. It might be up and down multiple different times. And I want to tell you it will be, but it is like taking that ownership and being like, okay, you know what? Yeah, I did this. There's no shame on it, but we are going to change and make the rest of our life better. Because we're not just looking now, we're looking at what it's going to impact you 5 years from now, 10 years,
yes,
30, 50 years, how it's going to impact your children's life, I think is so big. Like, I have two little kids and I want to make sure that one, they see us managing our finances really mm-hmm. well and diligently. I want them to see the conversation that my husband and I have with money. I want them to be able to see how we communicate about it, how we talk about it. And that's really like, yeah, that's really big for me because I do have those two kids.
Really, really important. The interesting thing, the first person I ever hired and I had no money when I was paying myself $20 a week was my bookkeeper because
I love that.
Yeah, I didn't know my finances, but I knew if I didn't want to go bankrupt again, I knew the first person I needed was someone that was better than me at my math. And what's really interesting is I think a lot of people try to do everything themselves and they're self-made and everything and they won't ask for help. Maybe they're embarrassed to show their accounts to somebody or just the lack of knowledge when it comes to this area. But honestly, like the faster that you ask for some actual help and you hire professional help, I've spent so much on financial advisors, bookkeepers, and accountants over my years. And I would say like, I couldn't be a 7-figure business owner if I didn't do those things and get myself out of where I was to where I am now. And I don't regret spending any of that money. Like it was all the best money I've ever spent. And I think this is just like the most important thing, man. It's like, if I need a light fixed, I'm going to hire an electrician. If I need my money fixed, I'm going to hire a bookkeeper, you know, like to look after my stuff. Yeah. So I think this is a conversation that needs to be had. How do we find the right bookkeeper or how do we find the right team for us so we can become like the Avengers, you know, like feel like all the different superpowers come into our business and we get to utilize those superpowers so we can keep moving forward towards that big goal.
Yeah. First off, I love that because a lot of times people, like you said, are trying to do it themselves. And a lot of times people are like, well, I want to hire a web designer, a brand, like get my branding done or get new gear or whatever, all the fun, flashy things.
Yeah.
And this is like the most important thing because this is going to be able to tell you if you can afford to do X, Y, and Z. And people don't see that.
It probably is going to help you, like enable you to afford those things too, you know? Yeah. So you're actually going to have more money. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then your question, I find it really interesting because I feel like I've had some experiences in the past, I don't know, 6 months of clients come to us with really bad experiences with bookkeepers and like their books are complete mess. I truly don't know how these people are in business doing the bookkeeping, but I want you to like really interview the bookkeeper, see what their experience is. Do they have experience in your industry? Who are they working with? Talk to like the, see if you can like talk to some of their clients. Like I just had a potential client be like, hey, can I talk to like, actually talk to some of your references and your client. I'm like, sure, go for it. Like, I want you to do your investigation. On top of that, there is a little bit of responsibility as you, as the CEO, that people don't realize that like, you can't just hire a bookkeeper and expect them to like, and like expect them to do 100% everything and you to be completely off hands and not really do anything. And that would be like, okay, understanding the profit and loss, understanding the balance sheet to where if you see something that's kind of out of place, you can quiz your accountant, quiz your bookkeeper on it.
Totally.
And like, for example, like one of my new clients who had the past bookkeeper, she had like all of her income and expenses was listed in wages and other business expenses for the whole entire year. And there was a whole missing credit card that wasn't documented. And so like, that was a quick thing. I pulled up profit and loss and I'm like, what's going on here? There's no information here. And she wasn't educated enough in the way to understand it. So that's a really big portion of what I do because I want my, if something's out of place, I want my clients to ask, or if they don't understand something, I want them to ask.
I've got to say something on this. I'm going to cut you off. Yeah. One of the first things when I hired my bookkeeper and my accountant was I said to them, I don't know anything. I'm going to ask you the dumbest questions and I need answers to those dumb questions. And they're all like, oh, okay. So do you understand a profit and loss? I'm like, I don't. And so when I ask you a question on something, I need you to explain to me like I'm a 5-year-old. And they're all like, oh, sweet. And so I've been with both of them for 13 years now or 12 years or something. And I still ask them those questions still to this day, but I know so much now because they explain it to me in such a way where I have a conversation with my bookkeeper or accountant and I can really come to the table with some ideas and things now, but there's still so many things where I'm like, hey, so what does this mean with the tax thing? And they're like, oh, Jai, okay, it's like this and this and this. So I'm never afraid to ask questions. I think any business owner or any CEO, you are not expected to know all these things. So you need to ask these questions and like, and let people know that you're going to ask those questions and don't try and fake that you know anything. I think that's really, really important.
Yeah. Yes. I'm glad you brought that up too, because yeah, a lot of times people will come to us and be like, act like they know stuff. And I'm like, I want you to ask the questions. I want you to really dive into something. If you don't understand it, then I want you to understand it because it is your business and you're making decisions off of what these numbers are saying. And furthermore, if you have a bookkeeper, if you have an accountant that is not answering your questions, or you've asked them things multiple different times and you still don't understand it and aren't getting a clear like explanation or aren't even getting a response. I have a lot of people that are like, I can't even get a response on my like financial team. Then you need to be switching. You need to be finding someone who can actually help you know what's going on.
Red flag. Hey.
Yeah. Red flag.
Red flag. So any last advice on just like, you know, feeling empowered with your own accounts and feeling actually excited about looking at your numbers? Because obviously if you're looking at your numbers, and you're feeling empowered, you're going to make good decisions and you will know whether or not you can afford the thing. Not just like, I'm not sure if I can afford it. Like you will know that you can afford it or you can't afford it or how long it will take until you can afford it. I think that's like a really important place to be. And also to be a freelancer or a CEO or to be the business owner of any business, like you are the leader. So it's so important that you put your ego behind you and then you show up and learn the things you need to learn or hire the people you need to hire. So you have that clarity so you can like push that ship towards those goals.
Yeah. Yeah. And I say, I mean, pretty much everything that you just said, like you are running a business, you need to treat it like a business. And every good business, there is a CEO at the head, and they might not be doing their own bookkeeping, and I can guarantee they're probably not. Even myself, like, there's going to come to a time, and I don't know when that will be. I still do all of my own bookkeeping for my agency, but I don't want to do it anymore. I don't need to be doing it because I have so many other responsibilities and leadership responsibilities, and I need to be the visionary for my business. And even though I am a financial and numbers person, I am more creative minded. It's why I'm an entrepreneur. I'm not a cookie cutter type of thing. I don't want to be doing the little bookkeeping things. I just want to be presented. Here's my numbers. How do I change it?
And you can make a decision.
Yeah. Yeah. So even coming from me, like, I want to be able to look at the numbers and decide, but I don't need to be spending my time in it because I know my money, like my value, my time is worth more than doing the bookkeeping. And so one day, whenever I release the numbers and finances on my own to somebody else, yeah, I'm hoping that will come soon. But yeah, just know that like you can understand things, find someone that can help you be able to understand it, to explain it, do your research, read books, educate yourself. The finances and understanding them is what is going to get you to the next step and to where you want to be.
Awesome. And where can we come and find you and your services and all the things that you do?
Yeah. Okay. So our website is profitpriority.co. And then my Instagram is lauriannkuntz.co. And then you can find everything else from there. But yeah, we do offer done for you bookkeeping services and fractional CFO services, all the budgeting projections, everything like that. And yeah, if anyone wants to just hang out and chat and be friends, then I'm all down with that too.
And you work with a lot of creatives, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yes. Work with lots of creatives, photographers, brand designers, web designers, all kinds of agencies, lots of service-based creative businesses.
It's awesome. Hey, thank you so much for jumping on today. And thank you for, I think like, it's just really important that we have this conversation. You know, this is a creative podcast and it's called Make Your Break, and it's all about making your break. And often we forget about like talking about the numbers and what actually goes in, like the systems and things like that. So it's so important to have people just like yourself to get on here and just to remind us that, hey, this is all really important and it's all working towards our big unrealistic goals and, you know, our dreams and our creativity and everything else, and it all fits together, but it needs to happen. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you for having me.